This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za.
The Socioeconomic Rights Institute of South Africa, SIRI, has indicated that more than 800 evictions have taken place since the country entered lockdown. Now, the Prevention of Illegal Evictions Act does stipulate that no person may be evicted without a court order. Further, no evictions are permitted under lockdown level 5 to 3. But recently, we've seen very disturbing images coming out from Khayelitsha that went viral on social media. Very insensitive footage that we saw of evictions there, and we are speaking now to Lucky Makubele, the legal expert at SIRI, to talk about the evictions in South Africa and how they are conducted. Thank you so much for your time, Lucky.
Good evening, madam, and to your listeners.
Thank you very much for giving us your time. This issue is a very emotional one in South Africa because we don't only talk about it now that we have a coronavirus lockdown, but as a starting point, with COVID-19, the evictions that we saw in the Western Cape do raise that continued issue and the historic problem that we see that evictions do still take place, especially in winter. Where do we stand in South Africa when it comes to breaking the law, essentially, and breaking this that we seem to have to uphold in terms of social cohesion?
Yeah, thank you very much for that question. I think this question of evictions that we've seen recently, there is a very sensitive issue. You'd recall that after 1994, we became a democratic state that is controlled or regulated under the constitution, as opposed to a previous regime where you had apartheid kind of laws. And the constitution is very clear on how things must happen, particularly the law that must be followed in terms of evicting people. You'll know that one of the most important values that our constitution enshrines is the value of human dignity. And I'm of the view that what we have seen recently, especially taking into account the fact that we are living under very tough times. We are living under a pandemic which is ravaging the whole world. The question of human dignity comes across very strongly there. And one can seriously raise serious concerns about the manner in which those evictions have occurred.
A question that is not, you know, that is unfamiliar is why is it that these evictions happen in this manner in South Africa, and why is it even allowed?
I don't think one can say those kinds of evictions are allowed. I think what we are seeing here is a serious failure on the part of the state to make sure that human rights are safeguarded. Our law stipulates that evictions may happen subject to a court order. However, that court order cannot just be issued willy-nilly. The legislation prescribes in no uncertain terms that before a court order to evict a person or a group of persons can be granted, the court has to take into account all the relevant factors or circumstances.
Right.
And the relevant circumstances in this juncture is the fact that we are struggling with a serious pandemic, which has now created strange circumstances for people to live in. And your listeners would recall that when the national state of disaster was declared, the government did express an opinion to the effect that no evictions should be carried, you know, during that period. And this is a serious consideration that the court of law would have had to take into account before giving such an order. And I doubt that any court of law would have ignored what we are going through as a country and the globe. and just issue an order to say people must be evicted from their home. So I doubt that, proper process would have been undertaken in obtaining such an order.
In this particular instance, with the case Yako Khayelitsha, it became so inhumane that we are in crisis time that has been likened to wartime. And it was so disturbing to see that this culture is, seemingly being perpetuated in the Western Cape. And I'm interested in finding out recourse for those who find themselves evicted and challenging a court order of this nature.
Yeah, I think there's enough recourse that the people who are aggrieved by such an order could exercise. Our constitution provides clearly that any law or conduct which undermines the values as enshrined in the constitution must be declared invalid. And I think that the community concerned would be entitled to approach a court of law to seek an order declaring such evictions which occurred during the COVID-19 and the state of national disaster to be declared invalid and to be reinstated to where they were before this eviction occurred. So there is enough legal recourse available both in the constitution and in the legislation to declare such an eviction invalid.
Lucky, how would you respond to an argument in other parts of South African communities that illegal occupation on its own still must be tackled?
Well, you see, ma'am, one must make a clear distinction between an occupation of privately owned land vis-a-vis occupation of land that belongs to an organ of state. The city of Cape Town, it is an organ of state. It is the local government of government. Therefore, the act, the PIE Act, envisages that before an organ of state would resort to such a drastic measure, they have to explore certain avenues, such as a dispute resolution avenue, wherein the organ of state tries to find alternative ways of mediating before resorting to such a drastic measure. And I believe that the Constitution obliges the state to make available land for purpose of people obtaining their right to housing. So this must be distinguishable from a privately owned property, because the city of Cape Town is an organ of state. It has the obligation to protect the right to housing. So if it was privately owned property, perhaps we could have a different discussion. But in this case, these people are entitled to seek or vindicate their right to housing from the local government, and they have an obligation to make available land for purposes of vindicating their right to housing. So that question to me does not arise in this case, at least.
Let's hear from Milton calling from Hatfield using the number 0861987000. You, the formidable power listener, can use that exact same number to share your views on this topic. Good evening, Milton.
Evening, guys. How are you doing?
Well, thank you so much, Abdi.
I'm perfect, man. You see, what we need to look at, Tumisang, yes, we understand people are being evicted during winter, né? But what we need to be careful of, we should not be enabling lawlessness. Because as much as people have rights and they cannot be evicted, but now what about the private landowners whose land is being occupied by people, and now they are also being prejudiced? Because as much as we are a democratic state and we are protecting the interests of everyone, but now I feel that in the South African context, they protect more the occupiers rather than the landowners. And also, I also want to caution your guest there about saying that municipal land should be looked at differently, because as much as people have a basic need to housing, people cannot just go and occupy land wherever. Because you might find that land has been earmarked for for other projects. But now municipalities now have to now go and spend exorbitant funds of money to remove those occupiers. So we should, at all costs, not be enablers of lawlessness, because this constitution that we love so much, we are trying to protect, we should not use it now to enable lawlessness, because property rights are sacrosanct, and we should protect them with everything we have. If there is, if there will ever be a country for us to look forward to, and that's just my comment.
Thanks, Milton, for that comment. Lucky, how do you comment to Milton's stance there?
Well, I hear Milton's sentiments. However, I would like us to look at this issue in a holistic manner.
Yeah.
Our constitution, if you read the preamble to our constitution, it talks about the healing of the divisions of the past and establishing a society based on democratic values, social justice, and fundamental human rights. Now, when you talk about the divisions of the past, one cannot ignore the question of landlessness of the vast majority of our people.
Yeah.
Fact of the matter is that a vast majority of our people, generally Africans, mainly Black Africans, are still landless.
Mm-hmm.
Now, for us to be able to obtain a law-abiding kind of a citizenry, we have to make sure that the question of land is not dealt with in a piecemeal fashion. I believe that this is an opportunity for the state, for government, to adequately address the question of land, because here you are not just dealing with delinquents who decide to occupy a piece of land.
Mm-hmm.
You are dealing with people who are desperately looking for land for them to be able to provide homes for their families, because there is no dignity without land. You are dealing, if you know, I was listening to the interview of the gentleman who was pulled out of his home and humiliated.
Yeah.
This man was talking about his dignity being violated.
Mm.
And what does that talk about? It talks about him not being able to provide to his family. And it is those divisions that we must heal. Because when you talk about question of land, you cannot ignore the fact that most of our previously disadvantaged people are still landless.
Yeah.
Now we have to take serious measures to heal that kind of a disjuncture. But that does not mean that we have to promote lawlessness, but we have to seriously look into the question of land holistically.
There's another issue that we do need to look at, Budlaki, around how we in South Africa remain so divided about exactly this that you are talking about, and it touches on redress in this regard.
Yes, and I'm specifically talking about that to say we still have many tribes, many families who were removed from their homelands. Forcefully removed, dispossessed of their land, and there's not been adequate redress of those people. So you if you fail to deal with that question, these questions of evictions and invasion of land will not come to an end until you have adequately dealt with that issue.
Let's take more calls on the number 0861-987-000. Harold in Velgejevel, what is on your mind, sir?
Hi. I would like to comment about what the eviction that happened in Khayelitsha.
Mm.
So the problem that I have right now is because of what happened, how the person was treated, my concern and my question is, what has the legal people done about that? And I'm curious especially about the case number.
The case number would be a bit tricky right now, but I do know from what I've been reading in the media is that number one, there is a human rights case that has been lodged, and there is also a criminal case that is going to be challenged against these evictions. But Lucky, do you have any further information?
Well, I'm not familiar with what has happened beyond the eviction that has happened, but I'm sure that the community would be entitled to approach any you know, human rights body or a law firm to assist them in terms of challenging what has happened in Cape Town. But as to the exact merits of the case, I'm not really sure.
I'll definitely get even more information and just put it on our timeline on social media. Lucas in Inkangala, Lochani. How are you, sir?
Fine, and you?
Good, thank you. What's your opinion on this matter?
Oh, man, my comment is just Africa doesn't have its own land. Mm-hmm. Because what we are seeing now is very disturbing, you know, in our country, mm-hmm. where a man will be evicted in his what he's trying to shelter himself mm-hmm. in this year under the mm-hmm. black government. It's painful.
It's extremely painful. But
in Freedom Charter, they say people shall govern. But here, we are not governing. Mm. We are being governed by the crooks. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Bud Lucas. But like he has expressed there by Bud Lucas, that it is actually a painful matter to see. And it's not just this case that we have seen recently in Khayelitsha. These evictions continue to happen in this particular fashion. And going forward, what is needed really from you and I as individuals in South Africa that do stand against the illegality of how these evictions are done, particularly when we look at the human rights aspect of it? Do we even have a bigger voice and a bigger role to play?
No, I think this case, Tumisang, it has seriously raised important questions that as a nation we need to deal with as to what extent has government progressed in terms of addressing the question of land and to question whether the legislative framework that we have is it adequate enough to protect people's right to access to land and so on. I believe that because of this continued evictions, unlawful and illegal evictions of mainly black people, it is high time that the question of land redress has to be expedited, but also we as society, it's high time that we have to challenge government to vindicate our right to have land given back to us so that our dignity may be protected, because you cannot talk of dignity if you are landless. So dignity and land, they go hand in hand, and perhaps this is an opportune time to relook at the legislative framework to see if it adequately assist in terms of protecting our constitutional right to access to land and so on.
Yeah, it's about time. Thembi So in Kwamhlanga, good evening.
How are you, Misang? How are you?
I'm well, and you, fine lady. What's your opinion?
Great. Yes, hi to Putin, good luck as well. Mm. I was just asking, with regards to places like Kwamhlanga and Kwandebele, like the former Kwandebele, we have.
Oh, we've lost Tusis Thembi, so there on the line. Thembi, so are you still there? Oh, no, we have lost her.
It looks like we've lost her, yes.
Yeah. Oh, she was actually maybe going into the area in Kwamhlanga where she stays. Sis Thembi, so we have you back. You can proceed.
Yes, please. Yes, with regard to then situations like this side, we have PTOs, like permission to occupy for the places that we have. And then you get evicted out of that kind of a place as well. I'm just trying to find out what recourse do we have, or if anything, this kind of a case, if it sets any precedent, Budlaki, what kind of recourse do people have in that regard?
Thank you so much for your question, Budlaki. How do we answer that one?
Well, insofar as PTOs are concerned, it's normally land that belongs to tribal authorities. I am not aware of any cases where tribal authorities would evict people who occupy, because more often than not, the right to occupy such property would have been obtained from the tribal authorities in the relevant provinces or villages and so on. I'm quite surprised to hear that there are evictions going on there, because those land, they belong to the tribal authorities. And I'm sure that authorities have been very generous in terms of how they allocate land. And I'm sure if there are any disputes, the tribal authorities are capable of assisting there. However, should there be a situation where a person is unlawfully evicted from that property or land belonging to tribal authority, the provisions of the Constitution and the PI Act, they do apply. A person cannot be arbitrarily evicted from any property in South Africa, and you have a right to approach the High Court and vindicate your rights and have such an eviction if it doesn't follow process.
Yeah,
such an eviction to be set aside.
Thank you so much, Budlaki Mathebula, for giving us those insights and giving us
Makubela.
Yeah. Thank you so much. And there's another matter that I must correct there, Budlaki. You representing yourself as a legal expert and founder of Makubela Attorneys Inc., talking to us this evening around the plight of unlawful evictions in South Africa.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.